Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and today, despite a federal investigation, a threatened lawsuit by civil libertarians, and criticism from employees and board members, BART management is standing by its controversial tactics for keeping protesters from disrupting service. BART stands for Bay Area Rapid Transit, and on Monday, the Federal Communications Commission said it would investigate BART's disabling cell phone and wireless internet service in four downtown San Francisco stations to prevent activists from communicating with one another last Thursday. Now, this came in the wake of British Prime Minister David Cameron's announcement that his government is looking into a possible crackdown on social media after citizens there use websites like Facebook, Twitter, and BlackBerry Messenger as organizing tools during what British officials call riots, but others call social unrest. Free speech advocates are criticizing the idea, saying it's reminiscent of the social media shutdowns practiced by autocrats in Egypt and China. But the British government, it seems, is not alone. Politicians in Norway are discussing methods to limit online anonymity and combat web extremism in the wake of the recent massacre there. And in Australia, Communications Minister Stephen Conroy is already implementing a heavily criticized mandatory ISP filtering internet censorship scheme despite public and political opposition. I'm joined now by Zeynep Tufekci. She is professor of sociology at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and she writes the popular technology blog. It's called Techno Sociology. Professor Tufekci, welcome.
Welcome, except I moved to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and
beautiful.
I am talking to you for the first time in my new office.
In your new office. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And techno-sociology is still your popular blog.
Absolutely. Well
then
I don't know about the popular, but it's still my blog.
It is popular, and it is the perfect place for us to have this conversation. So thank you so much, Zeynep, for being with us. And we do want our listeners to join the conversation with Professor Tufekci, because we want your reaction to the suggestion that the government might shut down, even temporarily, your access to Facebook or Twitter or block your cell phone service, 212-433. That's 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Is a shutdown of social networks or even cell phone service a legitimate tool of law enforcement in a time of social unrest? So, Professor Tufekci, traditionally, and that's a word that is an interesting choice when we're talking about new media, but traditionally we've had a lack of social control placed on the internet in the West, in stark contrast to more autocratic or dictatorial societies. Can you draw out that comparison for us between, say, the U.S. and China, for example?
Right. Obviously, in a country like China, where we don't have free elections and free speech, we also see that there's a lot of controls and censorship on social media and other means of communication, exactly because the Chinese government, which is not elected, does not want its citizens to organize in any democratic fashion. Now, I want to start by saying I'm just appalled that this isn't what we're discussing in 2011 after what we're seeing in the rest of the world, because in terms of, I mean, it's just wrong at so many levels. Besides being wrong on principle, I don't really know of a better public safety tool than Twitter and Facebook for law enforcement purposes, because I was watching during the UK riots, and all I could see was a lot of people talking about safe routes, clean up, I'll be home later, what's going on. So it's a way for people to, in an emergency situation where you have problems going on, social media actually helps people cope with the problem, and I'm pretty certain it lessens the negative impacts of an unrest that it might otherwise have. And in terms of people using phones or other means to organize social unrest, well, there's a lot of ways to discuss this, but it should really be start by addressing why do we have the kind of events we have, why in UK we obviously have a problem with the large numbers of unaffected, disaffected youth who seem alienated from their society. And instead of addressing that problem, the prime minister blaming social media. It really is like how to not talk about important things. And second, by the way, I've seen zero evidence. I've been asking about this for days and days. I've seen zero evidence that either Twitter or Facebook were used to organize the riots. I've only seen...
You're speaking of London.
Yes, in London. All I've seen there is BlackBerry Messenger, which is a private service.
Yes.
If you're going to take away people's phones in order to stop them from talking to each other, you know, we might as well give up on democracy. Let's put everybody in a cell and let's lock them and throw the key out.
Well,
and that's more quiet. I mean, that's not a way in a democracy to ensure safety.
As we know, in China, they famously shut down the internet for 10 months in 2009 after the violent riots there. And to that end, in China's Global Times, here's part of their editorial about the London riots. Quote, media in the U.S. and Britain used to criticize developing countries for curbing freedom of speech. Britain's new attitude will help appease the quarrels between East and West over the future management of the internet. So, Professor, is it fair to say that they're hoping for at least partial vindication of their own repressive policies? And should we be concerned about the precedent we in the West may be setting?
Well, obviously, we are setting a very bad precedent. I don't want to just blame the West for China's policies, because I think they would carry out these policies anyway. But it certainly doesn't help that they can now point and say, oh, look, the United Kingdom government or the San Francisco Transport Authority also uses these methods. And in fact, if anything, democracies are more stable exactly because people have the right to protest, they have the right to elections. Social unrest occurs more when governments crack down on citizens' right to express themselves and right to organize. So that just seems wrong. And it also seems, as I said, the San Francisco event was pretty wrong at many levels, partly because if there is an actual protest, which, they can have a legitimate interest in trying to make sure a protest doesn't interfere with some operation or not. But if there is an actual protest, the real way to assure problems is to cut off people, you know, thousands of people, from being able to communicate with each other, which is what they did for 3 hours. You couldn't even call 911. What if somebody had been injured? What if somebody needed medical attention? I just don't even understand. I think the safety argument is not making sense either.
All right. Let's talk very specifically about what went down in the Bay Area and, of course, whether it could happen elsewhere in the U.S. It's been reported that during the mobile reception shutdown, BART commuters on BART stations from downtown to near the city's main airport were affected. So let's get the facts right, because thanks in part to the internet, there do seem to be a lot of misconceptions. First of all, Professor Tufekci, what was the initial protest going to be about?
There had been a young man who had been killed by a BART police officer during circumstances which many people believe were just unjust, because apparently he'd been either handcuffed or on the ground. And there was a court case about it, and the police officer, I believe, received a few year sentences, which people were upset about because this was, you know, killing of a young man by a police officer. So that was what the protest was about. And as far as I can tell, it seems to be a very legitimate point for citizens to be concerned about. It seems like exactly the same kind of thing that makes a democracy healthy, is if you have citizens who do organize and say, wait, what happened?
And how exactly then did BART officials go about cutting off the cellular
service? It's a little murky because they keep changing their story, but it seems like, from the evidence I can gather, it seems like they shut down all the nodes. They physically turned off the power to the transmitters in their own station. So technically, it may well be that this was a legal case, that they had the right to do this on their property, but I don't want to argue about the legalities.
Well, the legalities are important because there are, of course, Fourth Amendment issues and First
Correct.
Amendment issues.
And they may have been within their rights.
And the phone companies, as far as we know, at this point in time, were not involved?
No, they were not.
Independent action by BART.
Yeah, and they just unplugged it, which is exactly what concerns me. is also how you lose 911 service. So
yes,
they unplugged 911 service, a life-serving, civilized, really great benefit to, you know, living in a country like the U.S. They unplugged it for many hours because they were afraid of a protest, which, as far as I can tell, there was no indication that it was going to be anything but a legitimate, peaceful protest. They reacted. I mean, it was like preemptive. Before anything had even happened, they just unplugged it. And I don't really even see why this would deter protesters, because, you know, they can just say, okay, let's meet at 3 here, where everybody else who now needs to talk to, say, call home and say, oh, I'm going to be late, can you pick up the kid? Now they can't do it.
No.
And haven't, you know, if there's an injury or something, and if there's a real problem, then we have no communication.
So it seems that you are surprised that that BART did not think through the implications of this in terms of the First Amendment implications, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, as well as safety and security of its passengers.
I think it's wrong on safety grounds. I think it's wrong on principle. I think it's wrong in terms of practical, sort of issues. It's just wrong at so many levels. What I'm seeing is this knee-jerk reaction from politicians, like the what we were talking about in London, too. As soon as they see citizens doing something they don't like, instead of thinking, wait, these are the people that we're supposed to be accountable to, you know, these are our bosses, they're thinking, how do we shut them up? How do we, you know, put tape on their mouth? How do we keep them out of sight? And that's, you know, 21st century, that's really not going to fly anymore. I think we've seen it from Egypt and Tunisia to elsewhere. We are not subjects, we're citizens, and being able to communicate, being able to assemble, being able to organize, it's one of the fundamental tenets of democracy. And in a modern era, that means being able to use your cell phone, that means being able to use your Twitter and Facebook account. And if you are committing a crime, they should go and pursue that particular crime rather than trying to impose really draconian restrictions on speech.
All right. Let's take a call from Rose in Stamford, Connecticut. Rose, you are on WNYC with Professor Zeynep Tufekci.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you very much. I just called because I heard your discussion, and I just want to say that I am completely opposed to any kinds of censorship. Obviously, it's a First Amendment issue, but like any other country that's become tyrannical, we will resort to those types of measures. I have no doubt that the United States is capable of doing that, and they will do that. I mean, just to give you an example, many years ago during the protests against the Iraq War, one particular protest that took place in New York City, people were attempting to get near the United Nations. And the police, the New York City Police Department, on that particular day, did everything possible to make it difficult. They closed off all of the side streets. They manhandled people. They did anything and everything to prevent the demonstration. So I think it would be foolish for anyone, whether they're American or of any other nationality, to think that the United States of America is not capable of repressing its citizens if they sense that there might be an uprising. So that's what I want to say. I think the turning off of cell phones, it's just disgusting.
And it is often the case that in the free speech context, at least, our fears of about our security can deprive us of the ability to think clearly about our rights. I thank you, Rose, for your call. And we take now one from Alan in Brooklyn. Alan, you are on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good morning. Reagan ended the Fairness Doctrine and editorial reply on broadcast media since the 1980s, and that was an orderly way for opposing views and grievances to be aired in the democratic process, and for people making less than $1 million who weren't paid journalists to let their voices be heard on the media about current issues. Taking that away is taking away a major safety valve, and it's no surprise that when that has been removed, these sorts of blunter instruments allowing people to gather in mobs or what appear to be mobs to express their grievances will ultimately overflow. And the real answer to this probably is to improve the mechanisms of democracy working through traditional media, not to take away this right, but this is a safety valve that will explode at higher pressure because the failure of the general media to allow discussion of current issues raised by citizens through the Fairness Doctrine and editorial reply.
Thank you very much, Alan, for your call. And I want to come back to you, Professor Tufekci. It is, of course, the case that the incident in San Francisco raises important First Amendment issues, and the Federal Communications Administration is looking into it. And, of course, civil libertarians have responded quite vociferously. But what is happening in London, or what Prime Minister Cameron has suggested, looking into whether there should be limits on the use of social media sites like Twitter and Facebook, BlackBerry Messenger, that seems to be an even broader proposal.
That's just draconian beyond belief.
Let me ask you a precise question, because it is my role here as the host to push back a little bit. When there is social unrest, is there not at least some legitimate role for law enforcement to at least keep an eye on the communications that might perhaps be related to not social civil protest, but to perhaps criminal activity? And in fact, Tory MP Louise Mensch, who is a great user and fan of Twitter, has been suggesting that perhaps some use of monitoring of social networks would be appropriate.
Well, I obviously don't disagree that if there's criminal activity going on, law enforcement should try to follow the laws to try to, you know, figure out how to make things safe. But a couple of points. Social media during unrest is actually the very tool that makes the whole environment safer by allowing people to communicate. During the London events, I saw, you know, on my Twitter timeline as well, as I talked to people who were there, who lived on the streets, who used social media to figure out, okay, wait a minute, something's going on here. Everybody stay here, go there, don't go there, you know, trying to understand what was real, what was rumor. So social media was actually a tool for people to self-organize, to respond to that. And if you believe that if you're a government and you believe that the majority of the people do not want the kind of events that took place in London, which seemed to be, you know, more disaffected youth than organized protests and looting, if you believe the people on your side and want to sort of clean up and organize, then shutting down the very tools they can use to do that seems counterproductive.
Yes.
And in terms of, criminal activity, absolutely, there are courts, there are laws, there are ways to deal with criminal activity. But I want to emphasize, in the case of Lyon, I don't approve of what happened. And if I were talking to one of those young people, I would say this is not the way to express yourself and this is wrong. If you have thousands of kids on the streets acting this way, the way to address the problem is to try to figure out what's going on with them rather than cut everyone else from being able to talk discuss, and organize.
Thank you. Zeynep Tufekci, a professor at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer.